Okay, greetings to you all. Let's greet you in that precious name this morning, Jesus Christ, that we have heard so much about. And I was blessed with the opening this morning and thinking of that choice that we can make, choosing our destination and accepting the consequences as we travel on, if we allow God today as we're here in this earth, we choose heaven and those things that come at us. He gives us grace and his power to overcome those things, as Steve shared there this morning in the children's lesson, overcoming our fears. Fear sometimes are faults. And I noticed that I didn't see it from my seat, but I see Steve had a safety net there. Sometimes in this Christian walk, we don't have that safety net. But as we trust in the Lord, we can work through things. So, I don't know. This message I want to share today, I had it before me a year ago. I was going to share a message on this topic, and then I set it back. And then the last time I shared, I was going to share this message, and I didn't share it. And I didn't know, I had it all written up, the topic written out, and I don't know why I didn't share it. And I was thinking yesterday as I picked this topic up again to share it, I think it feels like the Lord wants me to share on this. And I feel maybe why I didn't share it the last two times, because I was trying to just share this message, only pulling out spiritual perspectives or aspects of this message. And God, I feel he wanted me to not only share the spiritual aspect of this message, what I want to share, but also the reality of it. Each one of us today, we're involved in it. Each one of us here probably failed in this area in the past, and maybe in the future we'll fail again. But the message the Lord laid on my heart over a year ago was false balance and just weights. False balance and just weights. So I'm not sure what this message is supposed to leave all of us feeling like today after we hear this. But my heart is that we'll just allow the Word of God to cleanse us. And as we hear it, along with myself, I thought today, I think Sally shared last Sunday that, or two Sundays ago, that sometimes when someone's preaching, you maybe have this feeling or you think that the preaching is being preached to you, or what does the preacher know about my life? And today I would encourage you to take that thought captive today and ask God, what do you want me to do about it if you're lacking this area of your life? And so, yeah, I with the help of the Lord today, we're going to try to share this message. If you want to turn to Proverbs 11, we'll take my text out there this morning. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh the fall. No, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. We're going to stop reading there this morning. I have a lot of other scriptures I want to touch on today. So just reading that, a false balance is abomination. That word false means fraud, being crafty, deceitful, guile, or treacherous. That word balance there means a pair of scales. And I think this is what would represent closely to what they maybe would have used in that day. A pair of scales. We don't use these today, and I'll share later why we don't use these today. Abomination, something that's disgustingly or morally unfit. I think of this, when he uses the word abomination here, it just struck me as I read this that in other areas of the scriptures when we talk about abomination, it's talking about there in Leviticus, it talks about two men laying together, talks about murder, talks about gross sins, abomination. Here he uses this word abomination, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. And so my heart is, in this first laying out this outline, is that we would receive this concept, we'd have a right perspective of how God looks at this. And I think today, just more than ever, as we think about the times that we're living in, I know maybe 8 years ago, I preached a message on the time is being nigh. It's drawing nigh, and the end is upon us. And I think that I preached it with somewhat of an urgency. And I think 8-10 years later, my urgency is probably more. It's greater than it was back then because we've already traveled into the future 8 to 10 years. So I don't know. Like I said, the first two times I wanted to share this, I was just wanting to pull out the spiritual aspect of this and felt the Lord didn't give me anything. So he wants us to hear this today. He wants me to hear this today. The word just there means completely honest, friendly, full, graceful, peaceful, and perfect. It means whole, everything. If a person is just, he is whole. As it shares there, and the word shares in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 15. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 16. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord thy God. So the word weighs there in that verse. It says weight. A false balance is the abomination of the Lord, but a just weight. And that weight would mean stones or something they measured the product with or the fruit. And they would have a bag of stones or a stone, and these stones were measured and they weighed. They were supposed to be checked by, actually back then they didn't have a check and balance system that we have today. If you go buy gas at a gas station, someone travels around once a month, I think, or more, and they would check the measuring system in that gas on the gas dispenser there to make sure that it is giving the right amount of fuel. So no one's being cheated. You go to the grocery store, if you use a weight or a scales there, the same thing happens there. I talked to a guy that used to drive Uber, and he says he had a check thing in his vehicle, but the state would come out once every 6 months and check to make sure that his mileage was right so they wouldn't rip anybody off. But back in the old days when Solomon was around, they did not have people to check these out. And that's why the word of God was supposed to be powerful enough to those people back then that as they was doing business, they knew what the word of the Lord says and they were to do it honestly. But that was not the case always back in the Old Testament. So weights. So they would have weights. They would put in one of these baskets, and the other basket they would put the product. And as they measured that out, that was to be true, right, and done righteously. So we can get an idea this morning that when something is an abomination to God, it is horrible, unholy, and unfathomable. When we understand here what abomination means and how God cuts people out of it, or cuts people off when they are practicing abominable things, then we can maybe get a little concept today of what God is talking about. Let's go to some scripture here to see what it says and warns us about false balances and weights. In Deuteronomy 25, I think I was there, verse 13, 14 and 15, and 16, and let me read to 19. Verse 13, thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord hath given thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord thy God. Then he goes on to say, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, whom thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given these rest from all thy enemies round about, and the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. The Lord give them a commandment here. They were coming back from a battle one day, and they were all weary and tired. I don't know if in the backside of their big army there was these men. Maybe it was their women and children. They were wore out, tired. And Amalek came up behind them and slew all those people. And the Lord called that an abomination. And he told to smite them off the face of the earth. Amos chapter 8, verse 4 says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn in the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsify the balance by deceit. And Amos is talking about when these people would be off on a weekend on the Sabbath. The children there of God, they were thinking about the first day of the week where they could get back to taking advantage of people. It says that they made the ephah small. The ephah was a measure of wheat. I forget, it was 35 bushel maybe. And they would make the ephah small and the shekel they would make great. And I will explain this later how they did this with these weights. It says that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of thy wheat. Micah 6 says, are there yet the treasure of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure, the Lord says, with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? Shall I count them pure? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. One thing that using a false balance done, and it still does it today, is it oppresses the poor. And I think that the Lord, first of all, it's deceitful and it's not right, so it's an abomination. But secondly, it always oppresses the poor. It's the rich taking advantage of the poor. Proverbs 20 says, divers weights, which means they were supposed to come, we'll read this later, with one balance and with one weight to do their transactions. But it says, divers weights, they would come with many weights and many measures. Both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. And all the weights of the bag are his work. Or in other words, it says, are his concerns. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. So a ephah was an ancient Hebrew dry measure equivalent to a bushel. In a hin, it talks about a hin. A hin was a Hebrew unit of liquid equal to approximately 5.5 quarts. So we can see that God instructed his people to have a fair weight in their bag. We read that in Proverbs 11. So what would happen was, the way the commerce worked in those days in the market was in a market setting where the seller would weigh out the amount of produce or on a set of scales. On one side of the scales was a basket which in which the produce would be placed. On the other side, there was another basket in which the stone or stones would be placed, indicating various weights. To make sure that honesty and integrity remained in the place, all the weights were measured according to the shekel of the sanctuary. They would keep something to calibrate all these, if I said that right, all these measuring stones. And this was in the place or in the temple by the sanctuary. And if you needed a stone, you would calibrate that stone with the stone that the Lord and the people there had, and it was a right amount of weight. The shekels used in these transactions were this thus by calibrated, so people had a way to get around this by falsifying their stones. And they could grab a stone, they could make it look like the one they got from the temple, and they could get by with this. I went through a lot of reading here just to understand it more myself, so it might be a lot of reading today. The shekels would be weighed themselves according to the ones kept before the Lord, so that there would be a common standard for business in Israel. This was not only there for the sake of honest business, but it was also there to remind Israel that God truly despised those who were dishonest in their dealings with others. One example of this is when God rebuked Israel through the prophet Amos, when we read that story, because they... what they did to the people there. It talks about, no, in Amos there it talks about when they would go to their Sabbath and they were supposed to be worshiping the Lord, their hearts were thinking about the first day of the week, how they were going to make their ephods larger smaller and the money bigger. They would cheat the poor and needy. And Amos says, "Hear this, you who trample the needy to do away with the humble of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so we may sell grain in the Sabbath that we may open the wheat market, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales?' Even while they were in the midst of their religiousness or in their services, their thoughts were not guided by God's righteousness." I had to think about that today. Many of us are here. Today is Sunday across America. Many people are worshiping today. Our minds are supposed to be stayed on the Lord. And I was just contemplating this, how many people's minds stray today, thinking about tomorrow, for the love of money. I even think in some settings today, they don't even stop their cheating. There are gatherings today where the people behind the pulpit are still ripping off the people who are sitting in the pews. You think about that? They pass the donation plate around one time, and they say it's not enough. They pass it around again. They fill them with promises that are lies by saying, "He who gives the most shall receive more." And this to the Lord, just a reminder for all of this, an abomination. But of course, we would not act one way on Sunday morning and then entirely different some start of the business day, right? But that's how it goes a lot of times. God spoke judgment upon those who did this. The second half of the proverb there says that a just weight is God's delight. The phrase is literally a complete or sound stone, which would refer to the true shekel of the sanctuary. The root word for this complete or sound stone is shalom. We've heard of that word, shalom. It's peace, which referred to being complete, but also meant peace. It was considered a way to bless someone as you greeted them. When the marketplace is set according to God's standard, the shekel of the sanctuary, there is peace. And we can say that today. We think about what's happening today of the prices, everything that are being driven up. And for each one of us today, there's a temptation out there. I talked to someone, he's someone that I do business with, and he says right now, he just puts a price out there. He gets whatever he bids. And I'm thinking, as I was studying for this, my heart smote me thinking, well, then I need to tell him that that's the false balance, right? Just because we can get $10,000 more to do something, then... is it right? The Lord will judge that. That's amazing to me, and that's sobering. Like I shared, we have these standards in the gas stations, and well, how would that be this morning or yesterday or tomorrow? You go to the gas station and gas is $3.75 a gallon, but you couldn't trust the pump because it's never been calibrated, never been. You know, I think you go to Haiti, you probably run into that a lot. You go there, you do pay $3.75, but you only get 0.8 of a gallon. You only get 0.75 of a gallon. But Solomon wrote these words of wisdom in a different age. It was the days in Solomon where each vendor in the marketplace had his own scale to weigh on. And I think it shared there where each person, you could imagine, when they go to buy something, you think of the guy running these scales. And maybe sometimes he would see a shrewd businessman coming and he would not pull out his false stone because he knew this man would catch on. But normally, that's what I was saying, I think normally it was on these customers who were more gullible or vulnerable. Little slave of the hand, they could change these stones out. They would receive more of the fruit for less pay. Unequal weights and unequal measures are both like an abomination to the Lord, it says in Proverbs. Not only was bringing out the second set of these weights was bad business, but it was practice, but it was also abomination. I think I want to get that clear this morning, even from my own heart, that I would have more of a conscience about the way that I do my business dealings. I had to think about, even in this area, we have that happening. Sometimes there are people that come around this community and they'll offer to spray your barn roof or your asphalt driveway. And a lot of times they're gypsies. So I don't know if you know what a gypsy is, but they travel. They stay here in the wintertime, in the summer, or in the summertime and winter they head south and they're just working. They do their rotation. And I've seen it before where they would spray a barn roof. And they would water this material down with either cheap gasoline or water. They'd dilute it. And a couple of rains would start washing away. That's a form of it. Now, I've been pouring concrete for around 26 years. And it seems like today, I tell people, concrete is a regulated product. They use a stone that is state approved. They use sand that's state approved. They use weights and measures that are state approved. But they also allow to use approved amounts of additives to place the powder. Some of these are like fly ash. I'm not sure what fly ash is. I'm going to look it up. But the latest one they're using is slag. It's a fine dust like resin from steel plants. And they use this stuff, and I can tell every time they use it. And I'm not sure why they use it, but it doesn't set up as fast, and there's a lot of moisture in it, and there's a lot of bleed water on top. And I had to think about this. I've called them numerous times and told them that I just want plain concrete, because what happens a lot of times, it does mess with the concrete. And there was a time we was doing a job for nobody from this church, but somebody from where we came from, and I was trying to do them a good job, and we poured a basement floor, and I left. My son called and said the basement floor cracked before he even started power troweling. And I was like, power trowel, the cracks will probably, you know, go together. He got done power troweling and the cracks were right there. They never went away. And I had to explain to the homeowner. You know, I called them out and they don't offer you nothing other than when you're supposed to buy this product to spray on top of it so it doesn't crack. And I'm like, since when? I didn't know nothing about it. But these things happen, and I think, for what reason? For greed, for why do people do those things? I think the Lord's watching. You know, this company is an $8 billion, $9 billion company, and they're worrying about a little extra additive to save a little money to make a little more. Let our hearts not be there. I want to move on here. The scripture seems quite clear. The Lord is disgusted by deceit, particularly those who use dishonest means of measurements in commerce. Notice that the wealth gained from such dishonest scales is the treasure of wickedness, and that those who practice a full and fair measure shall have their long days. So I said each person here today is probably dealing with this in some way. Either you're an employer or an employee. If you're an employer, you have to worry about taking care of your customer. Or if you're an employee, then you have to worry about being honest and giving a full day's work. Think of that. I was just pondering that. I haven't done a job by the hour for a long time, but I know it would be, we got to think about those things. When someone's paying you so much an hour to work, are we working? I think that our kind of people here, we have a good work ethic. I don't think that's probably a problem. I think we're going to switch a little bit. That was the practical commerce, the things that we face daily. I think the Lord wanted me to go through that and show me myself that being honest in all your dealings. I don't think that we're going to be able to use an excuse like sometimes you get really busy and you make commitments and you're not able to meet those commitments. I don't know how much room is in there for the Lord to tell him, well, Lord, I promised this guy this, but I never got to it. Is that where does that fall? Just myself. I think if I'm too busy, then I need to quit committing things so I will fulfill the commitments that I have. So that's the one thing the Lord revealed to me through this message. It's hard for me to say no. Another way that we can apply the words of Proverbs 20 in the New Testament context is by reading the words of Apostle James. And we can turn there in James chapter, I think it's James 1. James 2, no? James 2, sorry about that. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by that which ye are called? Saying there in the first verse, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying you can have it, but do not have it with respect to persons. So he's making another distinction here in the scriptures. Another way of measurement, as Solomon wrote about unequal measurements, are an abomination to the Lord. Here it's being applied in a different way. It's the context of measuring the worth of another person. Some were determining the measures of man by the amount of money in his pocket, but that scale was dishonest. The true measure of man is... The true measure of a man is their amount of wealth in the kingdom of God. Is that correct? But by measuring the wealthy to be more worthy than the poor, some in the church were measured out, so I'm reading some history here, out of their kindness, respect, and grace in different measurements. The rich got their favor and the best seats in the house, while the poor were ignored and marginalized. Their unequal scales were not only in the forms of measurements, but in the measure of grace they allotted to each person. Unequal measures are an abomination to the Lord. So we deal with some of those things probably in our life. I trust not you know, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we, as a body here, I think, do well in those areas. But that's another way to measure. Do we have respect to people? Do we? Can you think of this? You know, this morning, so and so brother's coming to me, and I pull out my bag, and I'm going to treat him this way. Here comes another brother. I see him coming afar off, and I pull out the other bag. Different way, and I'm going to judge him in a different way. And why do we do those things? I feel in my own life, I have done that. But the question I have is, why do we do those things? And if we are aware of those things, then the Bible says that he who knows to do good and doeth it not is a sin to him. So that's where, you know, if we're doing something ignorantly, and maybe we're not thinking about it, I believe there's grace there, but I believe that when we know those things, and we do not turn from those things, then it can be an abomination unto the Lord. Okay, we're going to get more practical here as we continue on. But I wanted to lay some groundwork and for this message the Lord laid up on my heart here. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about why we don't use these scales anymore. Some of those other things. And until the coins were introduced, until they were, and that was after 600 BC, foodstuff and other goods were obtained through barter in the marketplace, like we talked earlier. If you go down to Fort Wayne, I think some brothers here go down there every Saturday. There's a marketplace, and there's bargaining going on, and there's trading of money, and there's trading of fruit. But back then, it was with weights of precious metal and silver. It was silver and gold. So they had silver and gold they weighed these things out with. That way, the way of that business was conducted during the period, during this period, was that every shopkeeper would have their own epah and their drying and their measuring systems here. So they have their own stone and their own weighing system. As a universal rule, the Israelites were to do no wrong in social intercourse and trade with weights and measures of lengths and capacities, but to keep just scales and weights of measures. That was one thing they were commanded through the scriptures. It was stressed in the Old Testament that you would have, I said that, you would have one epah, and that it would be clean and it would be untainted, so that the measure was the same everywhere anyone traveled. What was commanded was that you never substituted an epah versus an epah, having one measure for some people and a different measure for others. Therefore, that God being the standard, I think of the scripture that says, if God should forgive us, in the prayer there, Lord's Prayer, then we should forgive others. It was kind of that, it was keeping of the law. And there was a using of a double standard. And I think today there is a using of a double standard in almost everything that man puts his hand on. All commodities traded and sold, as well as precious metals used as money, were required to be measured and weighed according to established standards. Their measuring length, their capacity, their volume, their weight and value all had prescribed units. They had the shekel, they had the bath, they had the omar, ephah, cubit, gerah, dram, and today we use the dollar bill, which they were commanded never to deviate from the practice or the standard. Deuteronomy 25:13, we'll read that again. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, many weights. You should not have a great one and a small one. You should not have divers measurements in your houses, a great one and a small one. You must have an accurate and honest weights and measures, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all that do such things and all that do unrightly are an abomination to the Lord thy God. So that standard of measurement was defined by the Israelites. Today, I've read an article, some archaeologists have discovered some of these weights and some of these balances from the old days. And they've discovered that some of the weights that they use, people had chiseled out the bottom of these weights to make them lighter. Because if you set a lighter weight on here, you got more product. They also did what they knew as clipping or sweating, and they would get enough off of a few coins that they would mint more coins. So they would actually be gaining money at the same time, be gaining more product. They would be debasing it or mixing it, or making it less valuable by adding less valuable metal with the precious metals. So we know what that's like. For an example, at the time of Christ, the Roman denarius was about 97% pure silver. By AD 253, it was only 35% pure silver. So their silver had literally become dross. Isaiah 21:22 says, indicates that dross is a symbol of impurities. The wicked are pictured as dross. Psalms 119 says, that renders the whole society of impurities. So we know these scripture verses says, speaking of silver, turned to dross, is a picture of Israel's losing their righteousness. We were young, me and my brother. I don't like to share this, but we used to do some drugs, and we would buy drugs. According to where we would get the drugs, they would be pure. Some of them would be so full of dross and things that they added to these drugs that it was worse than the full drug itself. But they would do that. They would take a little amount and they would break it all down. They would smash it up. Then they would add ounces of other stuff, and they would sell it that way. The next guy that got it, he did the same thing. And so I think what we're seeing here is, as the Lord, this it was the Lord, the scripture says it was the Lord's standard, his weight and measures, his gold and silver. This was the way they traded. It was righteousness because the Lord, he had brought this to pass. This was the way they were to do business, but they kept... So they were stealing from God. They were stealing from their customer. And they were, at the same time, adding dross to silver and gold. So prior to the 17th century, most money was a commodity. And that means it was a substance. There was silver, there was gold. There was something precious prior to the 17th century. And I'm not an anti-government person, but I think we all know this to be true. Today you hear people say, you know, is our dollar bill backed by gold? I don't know what you think, but I have my thoughts. But I got an article I was reading here. It says, our government has been one of the greatest offenders when it comes to unjust weights and measures. And our silver has become dross. If you don't believe this, look closely at your dime or quarter. Minted after 1965, they are worthless. They are melted down Coke cans, it says. And they add a little bit of shiny material to the nickel and the dimes to make it shiny, but they're no more than tin. Until 1964, the U.S. coins, except pennies and nickels, contained 90% silver. Starting in 1965, dimes and quarters were converted to their current nickel. Their nickel. They're not even silver or copper. Half dollars, now produced in limited quantities in 1965, had 90% silver. It then dropped to 40% in 1965. And by 1971, all coins and pennies contained nickel and copper, no silver. A good example of debasing. As for today, we use a paper current. That's why we don't use these. There's no gold. There's no silver. We use a paper currency, and that's all it is. It's just the paper. It's worth about as much as the paper's printed on. This all happened because of greed. They claim, if you look at the statistics, that 1% of the people in this world hold 70% of all the wealth, silver and gold. And the rest of us have paper. We have paper. Does that make sense? The Federal Reserve, they started this, I forget which year it was. There was a list of things and I couldn't go through all of it, but the Federal Reserve started printing paper money. And they started, this started back a while ago, but they started realizing people would bring in gold and they would give them a note. This is how much gold you have. Someone, it says, I'm not sure what year it was, they discovered that people would leave their gold in the bank, and more people were leaving their gold in there than what people were taking them out. So they started double and tripling and using this gold for notes for other people. So all of a sudden, that's how the dollar bill became less valuable. So we see going away from the godly standards and practices simply because of greed and the love of silver and gold. This is what happens. Our money has been reduced to a pile of dross. If you were to take your so-called silver and coins and to smelt them down to like I said, to reshape something out of silver or gold, they would be burned up. There would be no pure. It's all there'd be no purity in it. It's all impure. So we think of that today. People hoarding up paper bills. It's okay. I know we're living here. We need. It's all based on I think it's all based on confidence in one another. Basically, what it is. There's no silver or gold backing, but. And so if you take your coins in, you would smelt them, they would just burn up. But really, I'm not concerned about this morning. I think the Bible says that all things on this earth are going to be dissolved. And that's none of our worries today. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 says, For other foundation can no man lay than this is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work and what sort it is. So if you can make just connect those two as I was speaking there. You got the commerce and the money that we use daily, and then we got our spiritual life. That's why I say, what we talked about this morning doesn't concern me at all. But it says here, if we build our life, 1 Corinthians 11, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he says people built with gold, silver, precious stones, some with wood, hay, and stubble. And I think of that. We know that gold, if we're building our life, as Leroy shared this morning on our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're building on gold, when it's tried by fire, it's going to be there. There may be some dross in it, but there's going to be purities there. We think of silver, probably the same thing. Precious stones, probably the same. But we think of wood, hay, and stubble. I would say they're devalued too much to have any substance. What do you guys think? A fire hits that, they're going to be burned up. So every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then it says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, are all yours. Ye are Christ's. And Christ is God's. So today, as we look at the spiritual side of this, God is the scales today. You and I, we are on the scales. Who's the weights? There's going to have to be something here to try us against. We're in one basket, something is in the other basket. Anybody have any ideas? Who is the weight today? Matthew 21, verse 42 says, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, that same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doings, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So today, that stone will be Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how all that worked, and I don't want to get over spiritual in this thing, in this matter, but we know what the scripture says today, that we have an advocate with our Father Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that Jesus will be a just weight. He will be fair. He will judge things all righteously. But again, God is the scales. We're on one side. Christ is in the other. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So if we're found wanting today, if we're found on this side and we see the handwriting on the wall where it says you are on the scale, you're on the balance today, you're found wanting, it says, then the kingdom shall be taken away from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But whosoever it shall fall upon, it will grind him to powder. And again, I say I have little concerns this morning for the devaluation of the monetary system of this world. Because the Bible says everything on earth shall be brought to nothing. But my concern this morning is, as we see, brothers, as we consider this morning the time that we're living in, I said 8-10 years ago I preached, and it seemed like God is stirring my heart. As we see ourselves drawing closer to the end, we look to the north in Canada. You know, we've heard they're being somewhat persecuted there for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not allowed to gather. They're already doing these things that we read about years ago. This thing is coming upon us. And we hear of wars, and we hear of rumors of wars. And we hear of happenings that are proportions of biblical end-time filling of prophecies. You know, I don't know. I never really got into that much. I believe that we just need to live our life every day. If the Lord returns this day, I don't know, the other day, my wife and I were traveling, and we were talking about something. It was everyday bumps in life. And, you know, anymore, the fight, I don't have no more fight left in me. It's like, I don't care about that. It doesn't matter. All I want to do is be with the Lord one day. So we see these things happening. We see, the prophecies, I guess I could say I'm kind of illiterate in it, but I know that for some reason the Jews are all gathering home. And here today we continue on with our life. We think, what's happening? Is it a prophecy? Is it a biblical prophecy? But I think of the times when Noah was, when the flood came upon the earth. You know, I can see it as we go from day to day that it can be easy just to slip into the end times and be like the people of Noah, the people that didn't believe, the people that didn't, they just thought, well, that day is way out there. And we'll have one day we can do this, one day we can correct this, and one day, but that day will come. There in Daniel it says, the question is, do we see the writing on the wall? It's not Nebuchadnezzar, but it was Belshazzar, I think. He was living that very same life, and there was a writing on the wall, and then it said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." So wherever the word of God says, this is my heart today, my burden, wherever the word of God, through his teaching, through his writings, through the brotherhood, through the whatever it is, wherever it says, "Thy shall not," "you shall not," "this you cannot do," I think of every time we move past that and we do what the scripture says we should not, we are devaluating our souls. We're taking away the purities of our souls. We're adding things in there that are going to be consumed one day. Because this world has a false scales and it has many weights, many excuses from the people of this world. And my question is today, how are we here today, including myself? The more that people divert from the true scale, which is the word of God, the more that they devalue their soul. We can see that the monetary system totally failed, and God had established all that. Because today, I think I might have shared this. You go to the bank, all there is there's notes, there's promissory notes, there's checks, there's paper bills, and there's debts with no commodity. There's nothing to show for it. But the word of God is not so. I want you to take heart today. And I want you to be encouraged. Because all the promises of God are yea and true. So we're going to spend a few minutes here. Some practical things that I would want each one here today. As I study this, I've done this myself. Each thing that we go through here, I want you, I don't want it to be an emotional thing. I want it to be a solemn thing So we have this opportunity today. Again, we have it. It's right here before us. Sometimes we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded so many times. As we take our life and we balance it on the scales of God's word, where are we at? That's all I wanted you to do today. Well, there's a book out. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it says, "Did Jesus Really Mean What He Said?" I'm not sure. I couldn't find that book. Was the title, was it about divorce, maybe remarriage? And I think it was about war and all these things. Did Jesus really mean what he said? But you know, there is a list of other things that Jesus really meant the same thing as those two things. But we as a people sometimes, I'm like that. We take those things that we soar at. We take those things that we have no problems with. And we can Hey, read this. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Hey, look at this. Because we know you're remarried, divorced. But I think of this as God smote my own heart this weekend. We think of this list. I'm just going to read some things. I want you to take these things. And if these things are still in your life, are you brave enough to place it up here in a scale? Are you brave enough to think this is your judge, this balance? Things that you're involved with, or maybe you're struggling with, I'm not talking about, I don't want someone to go home today feeling condemned. I don't believe there's anyone here in this building. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel you should go home condemned today. I believe that, and if so, I would love to talk to you. We need to just move past these things. But yeah, take these things and balance them here. Allow Jesus Christ to be here, knowing that this is a righteous, holy way to balance and scale our sins, see it, and then to see if they will be burned or if they have any purities in them. So, of course, every commandment that came through His word is true and shall be judged justly. And I just got a list of things. They're not in order, and they're not. I'm just going through some of these. I thought of the first one is abusers of self, having unnatural lust. The next one is adultery. We think about anger. Backbiters. Those who speak evil of those who are absent. And again, I think that sometimes we can be like the children of Israel. And I want to say this, if you misunderstand me today, I'd like to talk to you, but we feel like we're a privileged people, and I think we are. I mean, we were left with an inheritance. Many things that my parents taught me that I didn't have to face because I had a conviction in my heart never to do those things. And I believe it saved me from a lot of trouble and a lot of problems. But then there's things that we just not so great at. Those who speak evil, those who are absent. Because we're a privileged people, I think some of these things we don't do so great at. Banqueting. And I know maybe there are other people listening today that are not here, but banqueting, going to a drinking party. Becoming a stumbling block to a weak brother through our liberty. Taking liberty to do things without thinking of the effect on a weaker brother's conscience. Being angry with one's brother. Expressing unkind thoughts or action toward others. Bitterness. Blasphemy. Boasting. Do we feel comfortable putting these things on here today in our own lives? Burying our talents. What about this one? Taking a little turn in direction here. Burying our talents. Not making wise use of what God has given to us. We've preached and taught here in this setting for years that every brother has a talent, every woman has a talent, every child has a talent. Are we initiating those talents? Are we making the most of them what we can? We know there's a parable in the scripture that talks about the brother that buried his talent. Buried his talent. He was afraid. That's a real thing. I faced that in my life. Am I willing to place this here? Calling a brother a fool. Maybe, you know, we don't have to call him a fool by name, but I think sometimes maybe our thought toward a brother, maybe we think that he's just kind of, he's not where he needs to be, or you're downing someone and not lifting him up. Chambering, that word means unmarried people living and sleeping together. Again, he who knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Complaining. I know some of these probably are not sins that are going to keep us out of heaven. But yet, as we look at the Word of God, and if you ask yourself, why do I complain? It's simply a sin because we're just not content. We're not content. We're contentious, quarrelsome. I always had to think about brotherhood splitting. You know, there's in our circles, churches are splitting all the time, and quarrelsome. Being contentious, going against brotherhood agreements, a lot of that stuff causes contentiousness. covenant breakers, lightly breaking a solemn or legal pact. And that's what I was sharing. Seems like sometimes I can get busy. Just the other day, I drove by a brother's house, and I had told him I'm going to take him a half a load of stone. I told him two times already. And I went by there, and I forgot. And I told my wife, you've got to write this down, because it's like I got a lot of things going on. But I had to think of that in the second Corinthians verse 1. If you go and read that, we had that in our Bible study last time. We went through that, not realizing that the whole chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul had told the Corinthians that he says, when we leave this other place, we're going to come by Corinthians, we're going to visit you guys again. And because of hardships, they were caught, they were persecuted, they were beaten, and they were in serious trouble. They didn't make it. They went on. And Paul wrote them a whole letter telling them that he didn't break his word. It was because he could not make it. He took it that seriously. And I have to think, as we study that chapter, I think, do I do that? Am I that zealous? Or sometimes we just think, you know, we just punch everything in a pile and we go on. But he wrote a whole chapter to let them know that because of persecution, we could not come. When we say, yeah, we mean, yeah, it says there. He says, when we say, yeah, it doesn't mean no. It means, yeah, but we could not come. He lifted that up that he didn't break a covenant. It was because he could not do it. Just consider that this morning. Covetousness is a big thing, too. Can we do that this morning, each one of us? Are all of our weights that we use daily, do we pull them off of the throne of God? And are they measured according to the shekel of the sanctuary? I had to think of that. Each one of us today. Or do we have a bag of tricks in our pockets? Dealing falsely with things. Defraud. What about desiring the praise of men? Doing things to gain praise. Dishonesty. Disobedient to parents. Divisions. Forming splits or schisms in groups. What about being double-tongued, making insincere statements? What about being effeminate? You know what that effeminate is? Unmanly or a womanish man. Do you think about that? I just read an article that a country is weakened. You take a country like the United States, there's normally manly men, and they help protect the country. But this article wrote there was an attack from the inside or from someone, from the devil. He began to make men like feel effeminate. And they don't know what manly is. And it's a dangerous position for a country to be in, because there should be manly men. And not only in the country, but what about in families? What about in what about in churches? Manly men standing up, taking on the task that God has given to them. Effeminate. Envying. Evil eye. Having a selfish motives. Filthiness. Filthy lucre, receiving personal gain through unrighteousness. Finding faults with others while having maybe greater faults in ourselves. Foolishness. Foolish talking. Hearing the sayings of Christ but not following them. Being a heresy, religious opinions that are different from the established scripture, hypocrisy. What about jesting? I used to battle with that. Maybe sometimes I still do. Talking to make others laugh. Just make the moment, the situation a little lighter than what it is. But these are listed as sins. Laying up treasures on earth. Pursuing material success at the expense of our spiritual life. Are we willing to lay that one there? Living in pleasure. Lovers of self. Mockery. Murmuring. Grumbling. Being puffed up. Overestimating our own ability or knowledge. I need to go through these because I want to close. But I think we get the point. And again, I don't believe I shared any of these things to condemn anyone. But it's as the days that we're living in, I think we need to be aware. Trusting in riches. What about, I don't think none of us struggle with this, but there may be someone listening. Not entering in by the door into the sheepfold, but seeking salvation through means other than Jesus Christ in repentance. Having an unforgiving heart. See, these things, I've probably dealt with many of these things after I was converted. Having an unforgiving heart. God doesn't let you, I believe if it goes on long enough, then you just stack these things up one after another into your own destruction. But when you're in these things, God doesn't leave you there. He reminds you with his word that, hey, you have an unforgiving heart. You're unmerciful. You're unthankful. Whispers secretly spreading false or slanderous information. I don't have much more. Witchcraft. There are people that are involved in witchcraft. I'm not saying to anyone here, but there are those who are involved in witchcraft, and they don't know they're involved in witchcraft. And the Lord calls it an abomination. So, yeah, I don't have much more. I just realized I was going to have a prayer asking the Lord to help me, and I didn't. So maybe I didn't say do all things the Lord wanted me to say today, but I hope that he edited it and that each person was here was blessed. You could go home today. Maybe there was something here you thought, I can't do that one today. And what's the word of God say? Day is the day, right? You can. You don't have to leave here. You can have your sins washed away. You can have them forgiven today, but it does take humility and true repentance. So Lord bless you all, and the Lord be with you.